Good morning, everyone. Time to start the worship service this morning, so it's all stand if it's convenient for you as we sing. This is Amazing Grace. Who breaks the power of sin and darkness? Who love is mighty and so much stronger? The King of glory, the King of all kings. Who shakes the whole earth with holy thunder and leaves us breathless in awe and wonder? The King of glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. You laid down your life. That I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing. All that you've done for me. Who brings our chaos back into order? Who makes the orphan a son and daughter? The King of glory, King of glory, who rules a nation with truth and justice, shines like the sun in all of its brilliance. The King of glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. Amazing grace. Be seated, please.
Getting ready for Mystery Island.
Kind of early.
What? Early? Starts July 10th.
What?
Yeah.
I thought it was like some like, you know, church-wide tropical paradise. Like I get to lay out and fun stuff.
No, Mr. Allen is actually, and there's a lot of people here. Mr. Allen is for boys and girls, whatever grade it is, to find one true God, and it starts July 10th through the 13th.
Oh.
So we're really early.
Well, that's fine. I'm definitely taking these off then.
I would too, yeah.
Well, that's fine. You know what? I'll just take this,
yep.
And I'll just start getting my classroom ready.
That'd
and
be good,
it'll
yeah.
be fine. And when is it again?
July 10th.
July 10th. Well,
through the 13th.
That looks like it's going to be a pretty good time. This evening at the pavilion beginning at 5 p.m., we will have... I broke the mic. And then at 6 p.m., we will have a potluck. There will be a deacon's meeting this Thursday and a business meeting this next Sunday. Do what?
Sunday evening.
My bad. All right.
Am I up? Long way around back there. So, are you ready for Mystery Island? Yeah. That's great. Great job, James and Lindsay, wherever you are. In your bulletin is a worker form. If you would please fill that out for me, even if you've told me you're going to work, because my memory's not as good as it used to be, and I need some help. So if you will please fill that out, give it to me, lay it in that pew, whatever, I would really appreciate it. And if you're wondering if I need you, I do. So don't wander anymore because I do need you. We're going to have a great time. We've been working this on Wednesday nights, getting the sets painted and stuff ready. We'll be continuing to do that every Wednesday night, except for the night of the carnival, which somebody else is going to talk about that right after me. So I do want to clarify one thing. I've had a couple of kids ask me, if you are in sixth grade, you still can come to camp, even if you just got out of sixth grade. It's anybody going into third grade and coming out of sixth grade. So just wanted to clarify that. And it's a day camp from 1:30 to 7, Sunday through Wednesday. We'll have a kickoff the day before, but you'll have more information about that later. So.
Oh, he's right. There are a lot of people here. Okay. So I got elected to tell you guys about the carnival. Thank you, Cherie. She's not going to be here for it. I think that's why she wanted out of this one. Okay, so it's June 15th. It's going to be from 4 p.m. to 8 p.m. It's all ages, and we need volunteers, too. And if you're wondering if we need you, we absolutely do. We have a lot of different things. You can specifically ask for stuff. Sarah's got a sign-up sheet right here. And we'd love to have you guys. And I think that's it.
Is there any more? No? All right. Will y'all bow with me? God, I pray you just you be with us today, you be with us this afternoon, and you just let us hear what our ears are needing to hear, God. I pray that, say thank you for everything you've given us, big and small, Lord. I pray you watch over us and protect us throughout the rest of this day, this week, and this year, Lord. I pray for everything we do for you, God. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right, it's also the first of the month. So you know what that means, birthdays and anniversaries. Anyone have a birthday this month? Come on down. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. Birthday, ladies. All right. Any anniversaries? Happy anniversary to you. Happy anniversary to you. Happy anniversary. Happy anniversary. Young couple, how many years? Five. All right, Russell, moment of truth. 30. Greg. 41. Congratulations. Happy anniversary, everyone. All right, let's all stand if it's convenient, and we're going to sing Higher Ground.
I'm pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day. Breaking as I onward bound, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand, by faith on heaven's tableland, a higher plane. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. My heart has no desire to stay where doubts arise and fear dismay. Don't plant me down where these abound. My prayer, my aim is higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand. My faith on heaven's tableland.
Over the hilltop.
I'm satisfied with just a cottage below, a little silver and a little gold. But in that city where the ransom will shine, I want to go. Silver line, I've got a mansion just over the hilltop, where that bright land will never go. And someday yonder, we will never more wander, but walk the streets that are pure as gold. Though often tempted, tormented and tested, and like the prophet, my
Coming back again.
Revelation 5, starting with chapter 11. Then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders. And the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." And every creature which was in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, I heard saying, "Blessing and honor, glory and power be to him who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb forever and ever." The song's called Revelation Song.
Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Holy, holy. Sing a new song to him who sits on heaven's mercy seat. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you. Clothed in rainbows of living color, flashes of lightning, rolls of thunder. Blessing and honor, strength and glory and power be to you, the only wise King. Yeah. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you. Filled with wonder, awestruck wonder at the mention of your name. Jesus, your name is power, breath and living water, such a marvelous mystery. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you. Praise to you.
Holy, holy.
Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you.
Be seated, please.
Don't look like all that many to me. I see a bunch of empty. I look, well, other people look and they see the people, and I look and see the empty slots. That's not right, is it? I need to look and see the people. Let's see. Donna, does that deal start at 6? Can anybody come? And we're going to eat. Thank you. Y'all got it, didn't you? So we're going to have some fellowship time, and that'll be good. And so come and be a part of that down at the pavilion. If you're... wait a minute. I'm jumping the gun, aren't I? It's been a long time since I've done this up here. Our men are going to come and receive the morning offering. Boy, I was ready to preach. Come on, guys. Thank you. You're involved in children's church. We'll let you take charge of your group right now. Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Luke, the 18th chapter. Book of Luke, the 18th chapter. The tale of two men from the same town. Different but the same. Different but the same. And that's true of us. So let's stand together as we give reverence to the reading of God's precious and holy word. And start with verse 35 of chapter 18, and we're going to end with verse 10 of chapter 19. And it came to pass that as he was come nigh unto Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. Now we know from the other Gospels what his name was. And obviously he had something to do with the new church because they knew his name and even knew his father's name. Someone has suggested that there's a possibility that he might have been one of the 120 that was in the upper room. I mean, all things are, that is a possibility if you think about what was part of the new church. His name was Bartimaeus, and he sat by the roadside begging, and hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant, and they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. And I'd like for us to get a picture of this in our mind, that if you can imagine this throng of people that were following Jesus, but also there was this great amount of folks that were moving through Jericho that were on their way to Jerusalem for the Passover. And so Bartimaeus hears this crowd moving, but there is something different here. There is something unusual about the crowd that is moving by. Hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. Now, you need to catch hold of that, who they told him it was. They didn't say the Messiah's coming. They said Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. And he cried, saying, Jesus, thou son of David. So that was to recognize him as the Messiah, the son of David. Through the scripture, he is mentioned as the son of David, as the Messiah. Have mercy on me. And they which went before rebuked him that he should hold his peace. But he cried so much the more. I can't keep from that being a little bit funny for me that they tried to keep him quiet and it just lit his fire. And he continues to say, thou son of David, have mercy on me. So Jesus stopped. Now think about it. He's on his way to the cross. The Bible says he set his face like a flint toward the cross, toward Jerusalem, to die for us. And he's on his way to Jerusalem, and he's on his way to do God's will. He's on his way to save the world. But he stopped. He stood. And he commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked him, saying, now, isn't this strange? What will thou that I shall do unto thee? And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. That you would think that would be obvious. And Jesus said unto him, receive thy sight. Now look at this. Thy faith has saved thee. And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God. So he followed Jesus. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Now, in Jesus' day, there was two Jerichos. There was the Jericho that was the ruins of who? Joshua. And when they possessed the land, they took Jericho. And what happened to the walls? They come tumbling down, right? And so that's the old Jericho. But the new Jericho was more a Las Vegas of that day. It was a vacation spot. It was a place where people liked to live. They moved to. It was a lush place. Lots of fruit trees. Lots of greenery. And Jesus entered and he passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. So we're finding a lot out about Zacchaeus. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he must have been really little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up, and he saw him, and he said to him, Look at this, Zacchaeus. Have you met him before? Does he know your name? Does he know you? Personally, does he know your name? Would if he came through the door, would he just walk down the aisle and start calling folks? Hey, Don, Max, would he call us by name? I think so. He knew Zacchaeus' name. And he said, make haste and come down. Now, I like this. He invited Zacchaeus to dinner at his own house. For today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and he came down and he received him joyfully. And when they saw it, that's that bunch. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was going to be guest with a man that is a sinner. Something happened to Zacchaeus on the way down that tree. And Zacchaeus stood and he said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. Verse 9, and Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. Verse 10, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. You may be seated. The tale of two men from this same town. One is rich, the other is a poor beggar. One's healthy, obviously, able to climb a tree. That takes some pretty good doing, especially if you're short, I'd say. And the other is blind. Now, from the study of Bartimaeus, we could come to the conclusion that he hadn't always been blind, but something had caused him to become blind, because in one of the events he says that he might have his sight restored. But here's something where they're alike. They both have a desperate need for Jesus. And there is not a person in this room today that does not have a desperate need for Jesus. And that's lost or saved. I'm telling you, folks, we need him. Every hour, we need him. Every second, we need him. Not just when we're in trouble. Not just when the bills aren't being paid, but we need Him every second. We need Him during the times of temptation. We need Him during times of family conflict. We need Him during times when the family is doing well. Gwen and I had a great experience yesterday. We got to go to Noah's adoption party. If you've been here very long, you know who Noah is. And you know what I discovered? I thought about that. Everybody in this church that's been here very long knows who Noah was. He was a foster child of ours that stayed with us 14 months. While there's a March hare and a lot of other things. But I had the privilege of getting to pray over him publicly yesterday. And his church family was there. They gathered in their backyard, and the church family was there, and I could tell he had that same relationship with those folks in Hot Springs that he had with us here. He just had a way to get into people's hearts. And it was a great occasion. And matter of fact, he made a speech. Can you imagine? He was the center of attention, and he was loving every second of it. And he had it, written out. Both have an opportunity. Both these men have an opportunity. they both seize the opportunity. And I wish I knew how to get that point across, that we seize the opportunity that we have, that we grab hold of that, because that's exactly what the word means, because when the opportunity is gone, it's gone. When that time has passed, there's no more doing that again. Some of you are in the throes of raising your kids. And that opportunity is going to soon be gone. Now, you may not think it, and you're thinking, my goodness, I hope it's going to soon be gone. But it's going to soon be gone. And that opportunity to hold that baby in your hands is not going to last long. It's not going to be long until you can no longer hold that baby in your hands. When our oldest was born, I could lay her in my, believe it or not, she weighed 5 pounds and 3 ounces. I could lay her in my hand, lay her little bottom right here against the bottom of my hand and touch the back of her head. Little old bitty thing. They grow up. That opportunity is going to soon be gone. Seize that opportunity with everything that you have. Just seize that opportunity. These men, both, though they were very different, yet they had this opportunity and they seized. One beside the road, the other up a tree. Jesus knew both before they knew Him. When, look over in John's Gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Look at the first chapter of John and look at verse 48. I think it is. Let's go back up to verse 40. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, and he first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, "We found the Messiah," wow, "which is being interpreted the Christ." And he brought him to Jesus, and Jesus beheld him, and he said, Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is interpreted a stone. And the day following, Jesus would go forth to Galilee, and he findeth Philip and saith unto him, Follow me. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter, and Philip findeth Nathanael. We ought to be getting some kind of clue right along now. And he saith unto him, We've found him of whom Moses and the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? And Philip saith unto him, Come and see. And Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and saith of him, Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. And Nathanael saith unto him, Whence knowest thou me? How'd you know me? And Jesus answered and said unto him, Before Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. That's a pretty interesting story. He knows my thoughts according to Psalms 139. Speaking of the Word of God in Hebrews, the 4th chapter, it says that it is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. He knows my motives. He knows my secret sin. Romans 2 and verse 16. Young man went to get some candies for his new girlfriend that used to be able to get that at the drugstore. He went to the drugstore to get his new girlfriend some candy. I don't know. Do boys still do that? Anyway, told the druggist what he was there for, that he had a new girlfriend that he wanted to get her a nice box of candy. And they said, matter of fact, he said, I want to get her 3 boxes. He said, okay. He said, that's kind of a little bit unusual. He said, why 3? Well, he said, I'm going to her family's house tonight for supper. And he said, after supper, we're going to go out and sit on the porch swing. And he said, if she sits close to me and lets me put my arm around her, I'm going to give her one of these boxes of candy. Oh, he said, that sounds like a good idea. And he said, if she lets me hug her, I'm going to give her the other box of candy. If she lets me kiss her, are you boys listening? If she lets me kiss her, I'm going to give her the other box of candy. He said, that sounds like a great plan. So the old boy shows up at supper, and they sit down for supper and gather around the table. And the dad said, well, we are going to ask the blessing. Maybe we will ask our guest to ask the blessing. And the old boy bowed his head and started praying. He prayed for everything that you could think of. He prayed for the troops. He prayed for the people in Africa. And he just went on and on. And he prayed and he prayed and he prayed and finally got through praying. They had supper and they finally got out on the porch in the porch swing. And she turned around and looked at him and she said, I didn't know that you were so religious. She said, you prayed for such a long time. And he said, and I did not know that your daddy was the druggist. You see, the Bible knows our intentions. Wouldn't it be awful to be dating a girl and her daddy knew what your intention? Well, he probably does. Who is Bartimaeus? Verse 35 says he's blind. He's a beggar. He's an example of all the lost. And he's an example of us before we met Jesus. And you'd say, well, I'm not blind, and I'm not a beggar. But let's look in 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter. Romans, Corinthians, and 2 Corinthians. Look at chapter 4 and verse 4. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. Did you see it? The God of this world, who is that? The devil. He has blinded the minds of them which believe not. And this is, I believe that we're living in the days of great deception. And not only is the devil blinding the minds of those that believe not, but he is sending great deception to the believers. And that's going on in the day in which you and I live. This deception, this great deception that is going on. The God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Look at Ephesians 2. Ephesians, Philippians, and look at verse 12. 2 and verse 12. And it talks here about before we were saved. So he moves us here in Ephesians. He's talking to the church at Ephesus, and he says that you were here, but now you're here. You were lost, now you're saved. So you're in one or two conditions today. Whoever you are, you're one or the other. You're not somewhere in between. You're not straddling the fence. You're one or the other. Either you are on your way to heaven because you have accepted Christ as your Savior and you've been born again, or you are on your way to hell because you're lost. And so here, this passage says in verse 12 that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Secondly, about Bartimaeus, he refuses to allow his circumstances to keep him from Jesus. He seizes the opportunity in verses 38 and 39. Even though he was discouraged by those around him to keep quiet, don't bring any attention to yourself. You're causing a stir here. Don't do that. But he recognized that Jesus was his hope, his only hope. See, that's many people's problems. Ours, most of the time, we don't realize he's our only hope. A lot of times folks try to take the world and the way the world lives and Jesus, and they try to some way compromise those two situations. And there's no way to do it. Jesus says, you're not for me, you're against me. You can't straddle the fence. He seizes the opportunity, and that's what we must do. You know, we, as a church, we've got all these opportunities before us. Just think about it. One of the sad notes that I heard yesterday was one of the men from their church said, Noah is the only kid in our church. Can't you believe that? We said, we dismissed the children's church. We saw all those kids get up and head over to children's church and heard that pity patter or falling feet. How God's blessed us with kids here. And we're in the business of being kid-friendly, youth-friendly, and being friendly to anybody that comes, but not compromising the gospel or watering it down in any way. He seized his opportunity. We have a wonderful opportunity here before us. And thirdly, he came to the right source for help. So he could have said, Lord, if you make me rich, I wouldn't have to be a beggar. But he chose to get his sight. And not only did he get his physical sight, he got his spiritual sight also. In the 19th chapter, we have this second man from Jericho. Different, but the same. So it is with all of us. He was chief among the tax collectors. He's a Jew, but he's working for the Roman government. He's rejected by his fellow Jews. So he's rejected by society. And those who are rejected by society are accepted by Jesus. They said in verse 7, he is going to be guest with a man that is a sinner. So Jesus invites himself to supper in verse 5 to Zacchaeus' house. You remember that he borrowed Peter's boat to preach from, used it as a pulpit. He borrowed a coin when he was given the illustration about taxes. And last week we heard about the prophet that asked the widow to make him a cake first. I want to close with this. Zacchaeus repented. He made a bunch of decisions on that way, on the way down that tree. And I don't know, you know, I guess you could read that and say, I think he let his mouth overload something else when he started telling about all that he was going to do. But when Jesus gets a man's heart, he also gets his wallet. When Jesus gets a man's heart, he also gets his wallet. If an individual is holding on to their wallet, if he doesn't have your wallet, he doesn't really have your heart, verse 8. Actually, he has asked for all of us, for all of us, for all that we are, for all that we have. In verse 10, he gives us his commission, which is our co-commission. We read of the Great Commission in Matthew 18, but here he gives what his commission is here on this earth when he walked here on this earth. And one other little detail about these two guys that I might bring up. Until he gets to the cross, until he gets to the cross and he's hanging on the cross, There is no no news, no word of anybody else being saved from Jericho to the cross. That last opportunity was granted those two men. And then when he gets to the cross, there's two more that I believe get saved. And you, can you name them? And we know one of them was the thief that was hanging on the cross next to him. We know that he was hung between two thieves. And one of those thieves repented and asked for the Lord to remember him when he got to heaven. And he said, today you'll be with me in paradise. But there's one other at the cross. Do you remember who it was? The centurion that said, surely this was the Son of God. But we don't have any record of anyone else being saved after he leaves Jericho until he hangs on the cross. Until after the day of Pentecost and all those 3,000 begin to be saved and 5,000 were saved and on and on and on. And so has been the history of the church ever since. In verse 10, Jesus said, I come to seek. What's that next word? And to save that which is lost. Let's stand together. Mike and Mark is going to come and help us. I want to give you an invitation this morning to receive Christ as your Savior if you have not already done that. That you might step out from where you're at and come to where I'm at. And make a decision to trust Christ as your Savior. So, as we sing, you come.
Oh, to Jesus I surrender.